Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bruce Levine, 670 The Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a cheetah can run. And as far as I know, cheetahs are speedy.
I went ahead and broke the story on Twitter, and then, of course, had to write a story on the website at 670thescore.com.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I loved you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bruce Levine is The Score's baseball expert. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Morning, Bruce.
Morning, Bruce.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, very interesting day in Mesa yesterday with the top executives and David Ross having their press conference. And then, of course, the Joe Madden, he said, she said, occurred. So where would you like to start today?
Well, let's start there. Obviously, okay. He talked about philosophical differences in the story on ESPN. Theo denied that there were philosophical differences. Joe Madden, even going back to last September, was quoted as calling philosophical differences crap. What right. do you believe, Bruce?
I believe all three stories. Everyone has a different story, and I think we all know that Joe did say at the end of last year there was no philosophical differences. Knowing Joe, having talked to him over the wintertime, I think that that was pretty much just to make sure that he could walk away without any more problems on either side, and that they could move on as people that accomplished a lot of things together, and that there was the only philosophical difference was at that point that they didn't want to pay him $6 million again for 2020.
So what changed that he spoke to ESPN?
I don't know. I mean, I think it was just a very casual thing. There was only one small graph about it, and that was it. I don't think there was any anger. I'm positive there is no anger and that he's very happy where he's at moving on. But, the philosophical difference explained to me was at the end of 2018, the Chicago Cubs front office lost their confidence in Joe. They blew a game on the winning the division. They blew a game the next day for a wild card. Theo had a 71-minute conversation with the media about changes that were going to happen. At that point, they still owed him $6 million for another year. So they asked him to do something different, coach differently, be more proactive in the hitting part of the game, be on the field more often. So at that point, they had lost their confidence totally in Joe Madden. So that was the beginning of the disconnect for me.
So, Bruce, the Angels have their first workout today in Tempe. The White Sox report over in Glendale. If you had to pick one thing to go to hear a manager talk, is it Rick Renteria or Joe Madden?
It'd be Renteria because knowing Joe, there will be no more up and back here. There won't be any. That's not how he flies. You guys know him as well as I do. He's not a confrontational guy, not in the media. He doesn't use that to protect himself. I don't think he has anything to prove or anything to show that, he had done a great job here. Everybody realizes how fantastic he was in the first couple of years with the team. Theo mentioned that they would have not accomplished what they've accomplished without Joe Madden. So I don't see any major disconnect other than the fact that he contradicted himself from the philosophical differences at the end of last year and again with the ESPN story.
Yeah, I want to hear more about the Sox because I think they're going to have a good year, and I'm interested in a lot of the stuff that's going to be going on there. So that relieves me.
Joe's just he's not that guy. I mean, he has moved on. He's somewhere where he wants to be. He's being paid handsomely to be there. He doesn't want to relive the past. I mean, he He just doesn't. He's not that guy.
Well, so, Bruce, then, with due respect, if he wants to, if he's not lamenting about the Cubs, he should stop lamenting about the Cubs. Because he was lamenting in that story, one paragraph or not. That was a shot at what happened and how it unfolded and how he left town.
I agree. I agree with you. And I think that you won't hear much about Joe Maddon and the Cubs any longer. I just, you know, until David Ross starts managing and the team either has success or no success, I don't think you'll hear anything about Joe Maddon or that this team would have been better off with Joe Maddon going ahead.
What about Chris Bryant? What, you know, obviously he'll show up later in the week. Will he show up later in the week? Will they have a deal in place before then? Once he gets to camp, does that put an end to trade speculation? Has it moved too far down the road? What are your thoughts?
I just think this is a spring training and season long situation, regardless of what people will tell you. I mean, Epstein has never, to his credit, he hasn't walked away from the fact that, you know, he's shopped Chris Bryant, and Chris Bryant hasn't been able to sign here for a long-term contract, and it's incumbent upon Epstein and Hoyer to look elsewhere if they can't sign him down the road. They're not just a front office that's looking at 2020. They have to look at 21, 22, 23, 24, even if they're not the executives here after 2021. So I expect this to continue on. I don't see a contract. I don't see him signing a $300 million contract in spring training. Don't see that happen. And I don't see the Cubs still not watching other camps, seeing the health of important players on teams. If people go down, you know, the price of Chris Bryant goes up. So I think this is a spring training and season-long situation.
Bruce, Jason Kipnis will be 33 in April and hasn't been the same offensive player the last couple of seasons. What role do you envision him playing with the Cubs?
Well, I mean, if they grab, you know, some lightning in a bottle here, he's a guy that has really good pop from the left side, an experienced guy, albeit not the player he was 3 or 4 years ago when he was helping the Cleveland Indians go to the World Series. He's not a very good defensive player as far as range goes anymore in his career. He's had numerous injuries, but he brings swagger. He brings competitiveness that I think the Cubs like very much. And, you know, in a platoon situation, or he could win the job outright if he shows he's healthy. And, you know, if it's not Nico Horner, if it's not Descalso, if it's not Bodie, he might be the best pick. So it's a really no-risk situation for the Cubs. If he doesn't make the team out of spring training, it costs him nothing. It's $1 million if he makes the team. So I like the signing. And like I said, the grittiness of Kipnis and him wanting to move on after numerous injuries, I think, is intriguing for the Cubs.
How would you line up? Who would you lead off on both sides of town? Let's put it that way. I mean, you know, it was interesting to see David Ross.
Mully and Haw would lead off for me on both sides of town.
Look at you. They're very well answered. But what do you think? I mean, is this a dilemma for teams? Is this a good problem to have? It seems.
Yeah, I think it's kind of for the White Sox, I think it's a good problem. Because, you know, you look at their lineup right now and you look at a situation where there's still really great young talent developing. You don't know if Robert is going to be a leadoff man type. You don't know if Madrigal will be a leadoff type. But you have great anticipation of them joining the team and their skills. With the Cubs, it's like, gee, we got a bunch of hitters that should bat 3 through 6, and we don't really have a great choice here. You know, yesterday it was David Ross talking about Rizzo being the top of the order guy, and that would be his fallback choice because he's done really well there. But, I mean, you want to take that big left-handed bat out of the 3 spot, arguably your best RBI man on the team. I mean, it's a little bit contrary. It just depends what they come up with there. I think there was some talk about Chris Bryant, but David Ross has not talked to Chris Bryant about his role on the team, you know, going in. He didn't talk to him in recent times about what he expects from him. He'll do that when he gets into camp toward the end of the week here.
Bruce, we heard from David Ross yesterday talk about his approach to lineups, and we'll hear from Ricky Renteria today about a lot of things. We asked this question at the 5 at 5, curious what you think. Which manager will have the biggest impact on his respective team?
I think it's David Ross. I say that, and I hesitate because Renteria has to be a different manager for his team with the new competitive players that he has on his team, and they're considered to be a playoff-bound team soon. So he has to be different, but Ross has to be the guy that turns these guys into a group of hungry players again that want to win together. So I'm going to go with Ross because that's the reason he was brought in. You know, they felt that, that Camp Madden had not slacked off because they didn't work. They didn't work together. And that's the theme of this camp is 25 men working together before, during, not necessarily after games, but more of continuity as teammates rather than working individually on their own.
Bruce, who's the best second baseman in Chicago, both teams combined?
Gosh, you know, that's a developing story, isn't it?
Right.
Because you look at all the Cubs stuff that's going on there, and you don't say, you know, this guy is going to be the second baseman. With the White Sox, it's kind of the same. You know, you have Mendick as well. You have Garcia that can play there. You don't know if they want to start the season with Madrigal. I think that's a fabulous question.
The answer's got to be Madrigal, doesn't it? It's got to be Madrigal.
How can it be? Because he might not even start the season. And
I'm going to write about that.
Yeah, just an interesting question. Because I think, Bruce, if I'm not mistaken, the one positional battle on the south side is really what you just described, Mendick or Lurie to start the season and hold the spot for Madrigal. I'd start Madrigal. Just because I don't think you need to worry about service time with a guy that's not a power hitter. And then on the other side of town, I mean, think about all the guys that are still there.
Well, there's like DeScalso, 6 or 7 options.
And who was the kid they brought up?
Nico Horner.
Not Nico Horner, not the end of the year. The
Robel
other guy,
Garcia?
Yes. I forgot about him, Robel.
Yeah, you pretty much can.
Okay. I mean, well, I'm just saying. It's another
guy.
There's
a couple other guys.
Bodie.
Suaje is in. He's another
Kipnis
possibility.
Now?
Hernan Perez is also a guy that will make it. So there's a lot of questions out there. But, you know, I think Madrigal, you know, what if Madrigal turns out to be Dustin Pedroia? Now, he's not going to have a lot of power. But you still have to protect yourself. I still think he starts a season in the minor leagues.
So when you sit down to write your story from today's proceedings, whatever it is, Bruce, what do you think it's going to be? What are you looking for when you get to Glendale?
I'm looking for Madrigal stepping up and showing him that he's major league ready. And I'm also looking for how Robert goes about his job and fits into that clubhouse as a rookie and an expected rookie to be competing for Rookie of the Year. You know, will there be any pressure involved, or will the, you know, the connection of all the great young players and the veterans like Abreu, you know, help him get through to the point where he's just relaxed every day to go out there. So it's an intriguing situation with Robert and Madrigal there. And we're not even talking about all the other, you know, exciting players that the White Sox have added.
Who's the leadoff hitter for the Sox?
I think, honestly, if Madrigal doesn't start the season, I think it's Garcia. I think you get professional bats there.
Yep.
You take the pressure off everybody else. Anderson doesn't walk enough. You know, that's really not the answer there. Moncada, you know, is probably better equipped to be hitting somewhere, you know, 2 through 5. So from that perspective, I think it's Garcia to start the year. But who knows? I mean, it could be Moncada with the tools that he has and be able to start the game with a home run or a double or single and a stolen base. I mean, there's a lot of intriguing players to look at.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.